as youth director. The church also ordained him as a deacon. It was in this position that he learned to serve, to be more compassionate and tenderhearted towards God's people. In 1970, he was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. Later, he attended the Detroit Bible College and William Tyndale College. In 1977, he became pastor of Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church in Port Huron, Michigan. There he served for 11 years. He has been involved in many local community organizations, including the NAACP, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, America Cancer Society, Yorkshire Woods Community Organization, as well as a leading elder with the United Assemblies of Detroit. He attended Ferris State University, where he received his teaching certificate and became a welding instructor at the St. Clair Community Technical Education Center. There he taught for 20 years and has since retired. He spoke at many national conferences, schools, and church gatherings across the country. He has visited several countries in West Africa. Metropolitan has adopted a village in the country of Benin, Africa. The village of, Doji. Thank you. I had these in school, but I don't remember them now. The church helped with installation of a freshwater well and assisted with many of the needs in the village. During his retirement, he serves as a volunteer of the faith-based council to various Detroit public school systems, and he and his wife have been married for 59 years and are the proud parents of two sons, five wonderful grandchildren, and I got to speak to the one who's taking all the stats now. and twin great-granddaughters. Okay. Now, this young man, and you heard all them years, and he's a young man, okay? So he's going to come up, and he's going to deliver what God has laid on his heart today. And it's always a pleasure hearing from this brother. Brother Washington, please come up.
That's a lot of stuff. Take a look at your watches, please. In the bulletin, it says we're eating lunch at, what is that? We're going to eat lunch at 12:15. Canada, we love you. I don't care what the president and anybody else said. We love y'all. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you're here because that means I can come there. Lord willing, I'll be up there sometime this fall, I think it is. It's good to see you. It's great to be back to Good Tidings. And, it's always good to be here. I thank the Lord for allowing my wife and I to get on the road and come. I appreciate the city of New York for talking to Brother Allwood to give me permission to come. I thank his son, Michael, for helping me look good. And the elders here, it's always a pleasure. My goodness, it's always a pleasure to come and spend some time with you guys. I really love the time that we spend here. It's always a pleasure. When I go back, I keep thinking, man, I should have stayed a little longer. I wish I could have been here a little longer. But as the Lord has provided, we are grateful. We have two great grandbabies, twins, and I could stay here all day and talk to you about my twin great grandbabies, but Lori won't let me. So let's take a look at the word. The song that we just sang a few moments ago, "There's Nobody Like Jehovah, There's Nobody Like Jehovah," that's my message basically today. I wanted to talk to you about Jehovah, but I'm going to do it in a little different manner. If you would, take your Bibles, and I can't see their clock, so at about 11:13, no, that's all right. They told me to preach, so I'm going to preach. I don't care what time it is. You just have to hold it until I get through. Take your Bibles and turn with me to St. Luke. St. Luke chapter 22. I saw this a couple of weeks ago, and I was really impressed at what the Lord was sharing with me. Every so often, those of us who are ministers or teachers, you get a message, you get something that you really want to share with God's people. And the more you look at it, the more it gets better and better. And then all of a sudden it says, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to talk about. And then you go over that again and over that again, and you start thinking, well, Lord, is this the right one? Is this what you want me to say? And, well, I have been wrestling with that for the last couple of weeks or so. And a couple of nights ago, the Lord woke me up and said, tear that up. So I tore it all up. And this came to me. And so I want to spend some time with you talking about this. Luke chapter 22 is what we're going to be looking at. And there are two or three verses here I want to spend some time with. Luke 22, take a look at verse 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Now listen how it reads here. And the Lord said, now we're reading out of the King James Version, the one that Jesus used. It says here, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. And look at this last phrase here. He says this, that he may sift you as wheat. A few years ago, I was on a plane. I can't remember where I was going. And as I was in the plane flying, he took off, got up into the air, and everything was just running just fine. Then all of a sudden, I hear this voice says, this is the captain speaking. We want to inform you that we are about to enter into some turbulent weather. Please buckle your seat belts, sit back, put your tabletops up, and relax. We will get to where we're going. And I'm sitting there listening at this, but I'm smooth, running smooth. Then I heard click, 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 click all over the airplane. Folks began to buckle their seatbelts because they believe what he said, that we're entering into some turbulence weather. It wasn't long after he said that all of a sudden that smooth ride began to shake a little bit. And then folks began to realize we really do need a seatbelt. Now, what the seatbelt is supposed to do is to cause us to sit in one position while everything else around us is shaking. If your plate is on the table and it's not tied down, it will fly off. If your bag in the luggage cabinets are open, they will fly off. But if you are in that seatbelt that he's got attached to the chair that you're sitting in, everything else might fall apart. But you ain't going nowhere. Let's take a look at what the Lord is saying here to Simon Peter for you and I to catch a mention of turbulent time. Let's pray. Lord, we come now to spend a few moments reading your word and given me to declare it. I ask that you would bless us with it. So God, now, Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes that we can see what's here. Open our ears, Master, that as I speak, your voice will be ringing to their hearts and souls. Take your word also and plant it into the heart, our hearts, Lord. It may be hard, but make it soft and pliable that it can sink deep down in. And then, Lord, I ask that you strengthen us, that we can do what you say, we can obey it. It's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. And I keep thinking, the more I thought about that, I also realized that when we are in our vehicles, back in the day when we had, Brother Cato, when we had them old hoopties that we rode around in, they didn't have seat belts. We would ride and bounce everywhere. But now society and our safety people tells us, no, you need seat belts on every time you get in your vehicle. And the purpose of that is to maintain your position while your vehicle may be moving fast. And if you do so when a crash happens, or should it happen, or when you hit a bump and should it happen, that you won't go any place, you will be stabilized. That seatbelt is supposed to maintain security for us. And this is what I wanted to share with you when I saw what the Lord said to Simon. Now, take a look at this. Now, he's dealing with a guy that, if you ever get a chance to spend some time with Simon Peter, do that. Those of you who are teachers, take a couple of lessons and walk through Peter's life as he had a relationship with Jesus. And then what you do, you'll finally run over to 1 and 2 Peter, where you'll see what happened after he had been dealing with Jesus. So Simon, here the Lord had got through talking to these brothers and sharing with them and giving them some advice, and then all of a sudden he stops and he calls one out of all of those that he had been dealing with. He stops and says to this one, Simon, Simon. Name given to Peter later. And giving him that, he wanted him to understand that, Simon, I see you. I know you. I'm watching you. But I've got something planned for you. So he says to him, boldly in front of everybody, and yet directly to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. If you put it in our language, the devil wants you. The devil wants you. Not only do he want you, but he want to mess you up. And those of us who are saved and know Jesus Christ as our Savior, I just want to remind you that this Simon we're talking about, this Peter that we're talking about, he's like us, just like us. We are his, we are saved, we know Christ as our Savior, but even in the midst of knowing him and secured in salvation, the devil still wants you and I. Simon, Simon, I know who you are, and I believe you're going to love me. But I want to warn you, Simon, you are about to enter into some turbulent weather that's coming up, Peter. Church, I want to remind you and I that when we got saved, now don't, for, young lady, if you're here this morning and you just received Christ, I want to tell you something. You're going into some turbulent times, but the Lord has provided a seatbelt for you. All of us who know Christ as our Lord and our Savior have been with him a while. We understand that, but every so often we unhook ourselves from the seatbelt. And every time we unhook ourselves, that weather gets a little rough. The plane begins to shake a little bit, and sometimes it shakes us to the point where we wonder if we're going to make it or not. Now, I was sitting on that plane, and as we began that turbulence, it's every so often it would shake a little bit, and then it would smooth out. Shake a little bit and smooth out. Oh, why do I need a seatbelt? I'm all right. I didn't even have to put that thing on, but I'm okay. But every other time, that thing would hit and it would shake. And I have yet to figure out how does a plane that big, that heavy, shake so easily in the middle of the air. But he warned us, turbulent times are coming. And when you and I look at our society right now, that's exactly what we see. We see turbulent, shaking, troublesome times. Israel now is at a position where it looked like there is no peace. There cannot even be an attempt to have peace. The more they say we want to talk peace, the more war breaks out. The famine that's going on over there, the strife that's going on between the countries, that's terrible for those folks. They've been fighting for years and years, and yet they have been told about a seatbelt, and they refuse to put it on. That war that's over there now is continuing to fight. Even here in our country, we have some stuff that's going on. We are entering into a turbulent time. Never thought South Carolina would catch fire like it's been burning. Never thought Texas would see the kind of weather that's dealing with. Who said Wyoming would be burning up like, what's out there to burn? California slowly slipping off the hill out into the ocean. When you and I look at all the stuff that's going around through the climate, it shakes us to our bones and make us wonder, how can we make it through all of this? And then we selected a president a few months ago, and he done told us that he got this under control. And as you listen at it more and more, we are entering in a turbulent time right now. Those of us who want Social Security, you better buckle up. Those of us who are dependent on the government to do, you better buckle up. For those of us who are depending on the world to take care of us, sit back and hook up with Jesus, because that's the only thing that's going to hold you stabilized in this troubled world that we're in. Turbulent times are coming, and not just in society and in the world, but even in the church. It's different now. It's different now. I see people coming to church in pajamas now. I see men walking in the church house with their hats on now. I hear people that are saying, oh, church ain't all of that. I hear folks say amen out loud, and somebody says, why you got to say it like that? When you raise your hand and praise the Lord, somebody look at you and just say, what are you doing there? You don't have to do all that. That ain't all that. Why do we got to talk about this Jesus all the time? Why? You know, they got a different Bible now. You don't have to quote the things that Jesus say. There's a better Bible than that. There are all kinds of situations that are causing us to say we don't need church anymore. Our electronic devices now, to sit at home and drink our coffee and look at TV and say we are in church. All kinds of attitudes now that are taking place that's causing the congregation to feel that, what's the use? Why do we have to go to church now? But at the same time, in your household, while you're looking at church, you're cussing out your husband. Or you're sipping your coffee and listening and watching the pastor preach and teach over there. Your kids are back there fighting one another. We are entering in a period of time in our society where it's just rocky all the time. Cars on the highways are running over folks. Robberies are taking place. Children are being snatched off the streets. We're seeing things that we never dreamed of. And I just want to remind you that the seatbelt is God. And in the midst of all of this, God still got it. It ain't out of control. It might look like to us that the plane is going to crash, but the captain said, I'll see that you get to the end of our trip. I got this. That's what God is trying to remind you and I in the believer's faith. God has got this. Yeah, we got some folks who don't like us. Yes, there are some situations that's going on in our society that makes us feel that there is no such thing as God. Yes, there are all kinds of issues that's coming up. But all of this is because there's a fellow called Satan who wants to shake your faith. Look at Peter. Listen to what Jesus says to him. Son, come here. Let me talk to you, boy. Jesus, I'm with you. This is Peter. I got you, Jesus. I got your back, Jesus. Anything you need, Jesus, I'm right there with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to prove it to you. When Jesus was arrested in the garden by them soldiers that were going to take him away, Peter said, I told you I got your back. Peter pulled out his sword and said, mess with him if you want to, in my words. Mess with him if you want. And they grabbed Jesus, and Peter pulled that sword out and went to swinging and cut the ear off of one of those soldiers. He had Jesus' back. Jesus said, son, wait, that's not the way you're going to do this now. I told you there's going to be some troublesome time. Put that sword up. But that's not how we fight, Jesus. See, you said that I told you I'm going to be with you even if you get arrested, even if you die. I got you, Jesus. Jesus had to say, no, don't do that. Now, to say that to the man that's got your back, to put the sword up that would defend you, Peter was hurt. So Peter just, all right, if you want to go ahead, go on then. The Lord is trying to get you and I to see that there's a plan that he has already in effect that has got to go through what he says has got to go through. Your life, my life, our lives are already planned out by God. He's already got it set. What he's trying to get you and I to see that even if it looks bad, still trust God. Still trust God. God's got this, y'all. Peter says, the Lord says here, Simon, Peter, Satan wants to sift you. He wants to shake you up. And that's what's happening in our churches. The churches are being shook up. Satan, the devil, the demons, the world, flesh, and even we Christians are gathered together, and it's causing an effect on the house of God. It's being shaken, and Satan is the one behind the shaking. And the shaking is this: get your eyes off God. You don't need no Bible no more. God giving you your common sense. You can make decisions without God. Simon, he wants to sift you. But Lord, how? I got your back. Lord, I'm with you. We say that in the midst of the trouble, but we still cuss and we still lie and we still cheat and we still find ourselves slipping in and out of the church house. God's got this, y'all. No matter what's going on, God's got this. It looks bad. It looks terrible, but God's got this. When the captain says, buckle up, what he's trying to tell those of us who are Christians, you better stay close to the Lord. You need to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's going to look bad. Yes, it looks terrible right now. Economy is falling apart. The markets are going down. Everybody's wondering, how are we going to make it now? You get your eyes off of the world and put them on Christ, and we will make it through the turbulent times. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, how long have we got to be shook up? How long are things going to do this, you know? And the Lord says, hang on. I like the way Isaiah puts it. He said, in these last days, folk will say, what's good is bad. And what's bad is good. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ, we sit there and say, well, how can this be, you know? Have you noticed now that the world questioned our faith now? They asked the fact, why do you have to go to church? Who said you got to go to church? You giving tithe? Who told you you have to give tithes? I heard a brother, well, I won't call him a brother. I heard a man say that the other day. He said, Jesus never told you to worship him. And I sit there and I listen. I said, turn that. I don't want to hear that. On here. But if you listen to some of the cries that folks are saying, it's shaky now. It's trying to get your faith off Christ now. Get him on flesh and blood, on self. And the more we trust flesh and blood and self, that plane begins to shake a little bit more. And if you're not careful, you'll be like Peter. What? I'll back up then. After they snatched Jesus up and took him to the courthouse, Peter stole him, told him that I will be with you until you die. Peter did follow him, but you know where he followed him? I'm behind you, Jesus. The scripture says he followed him afar off, indicating that his faith was not really like he said it was. Peter, Turbulent times is going to come. Peter, Satan is going to sift you. See, the first sift came when he told him, put the sword up. Man, I can't fight like that. The second one came is when they drugged Jesus off. Peter didn't go there with them. He stayed back a little bit of ways. The third came along was when they had Jesus in the courtroom lying on him and slapping him and beating him and calling him all kinds of names. And Peter stood on the outside. Well, I'm at least close to Jesus. But what he didn't realize is that he wasn't close enough that he should have been. So somebody saw him sitting around the fire and said, you look like one of them guys that was walking with Jesus. And Peter said, no, that ain't me. They had Jesus at night questioning him, trying to figure out a way they can kill him. Peter was on the outside looking at them do all of that. Did you know that Satan loves the darkness? Oh, yeah. Let me help you with that. Turn to John 3. St. John chapter 3. Look at verse 19. St. John chapter 3, 19. See, if you want to get shook up, walk in the dark. John chapter 3. Look at verse 19. Listen to what the Lord says here. And when I saw this, I kept saying, Lord, you're so right. Look at verse 19, John chapter 3, and verse 19. Listen to this, what he says here. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men what? Love darkness what? Rather than light. Because of what? I don't know if y'all knew this, but there was back in the day when we were kids and they had the parties. The best parties was what time of the day? At nighttime. You know where they were? In the basement, where it is dark. You know what kind of light bulbs they had? Dim bulbs, dark bulb, dark black bulbs, if you would. We want to get up close to her, or she want to get up closer. We would talk about this, and all of that's done in the dark. Satan knows that if he can keep you in the dark, he got you. Look at the next verse here. And verse 20, and it says this, and everyone that doeth evil hated what? Light. You see, when you are in trouble, when the turbulence is there, when troubles are there, it's usually at dark. I can't see my way through, so I got to feel my way. I bump my head, I hit my toe. I'm struggling trying to get to where I need to go. That's because I don't want the light on. Turbulent times is here. It ain't coming. It's already here. Our churches now are getting less and less attendance now. Look around in your own assembly. You know that. Our young people are finding that we don't know why we got to go to church. We don't need to be going to church. We can do this at home. Yeah. And I sit there and I listen. Our youth meetings are not like they used to be now. Our teachers who are teaching the young people now are getting frustrated because our young people don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to walk in the dark. Those of us who are older, we are getting to the point where I don't care no more. I'm tired. It ain't like it used to be. The God of this world, church, is slowly beginning to sift us to a point where we don't have the faith that we started out with, in a sense. Paul talks about that. As a matter of fact, and let me show you that one. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse, I believe it's verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4. That is 4, isn't it? Yeah. Look at verse 3. Let me start out with verse 3. But if our gospel, remember we just sang Jesus is the light of the world? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? They're lost. The folks out there on the street who don't know God can't see God because the darkness is there. Verse 4 says this, and in whom the God, the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's what Satan does. He wants to shake us because we can't see nothing. Our eyes are not on the Lord anymore. Our eyes are on stuff, and stuff is always cluttered up to a point where I just can't make it anymore. But let me tell you something. God knows that, and he's got a plan for that. God's got a way. He's going to straighten all of this out. Our job now is to hook up. Put your seat belt on. For turbulent times is not coming. Turbulent times are already here. And if they're already here, what you going to do about it? You know what I would do? You know what I've done? Lord, help me. Help me. Sometimes I get in the car, and you know when you put the seatbelt on, you got to find that little thing to click. And some of us act like we don't care. We start driving, trying to get the thing on. That's the way a lot of Christians are. We want to move without Jesus. We want to do it without him and wait till it happens. Bam! Oh, let me put this back on now. It's a little too late now. Well, what the Lord is trying to get you and I to see, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Hook up with Jesus. Don't mess around here and try to make it without. You can't make it without him. God has got a plan to help us to work it and make it work for us. Let me show you something else. Paul told Timothy that in these last days, turbulent times are coming. We're here. The turbulent times are already here. Satan wants to sift you. There's some stuff that you and I are going through right now. You know, ain't nothing but the devil. Ain't nothing but the devil. But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to depend on the Lord. Work this out. There's some people in your family, in your household, that don't believe in God. And they will push you. Well, I know the Bible said this, but I don't know why y'all believe that. I don't know what you're doing. Why you got to go that way? See, that's the trouble sometimes. Get your eyes off of Christ. We don't pray like we used to pray, if you would. Let me help you with that. See, there was a time when folk would get in their car before they even pull out the driveway. Lord, guide us through this. Get us there and bring us back home safely. Now we're driving here and boom. Oh, Jesus. Well, it's a little late to call Jesus when you had the accident. There are times when you and I realize, I don't know which way to go, Lord. That's when we would pray, before we even get to where we don't know where we're going. Lord, help me get there. Lord, keep me safe. When I walk out of the house, it used to be a time when before you walked out the house, you start talking to Jesus. Lord, guide us on now. You know how them crazy people out there in the street now. Put your seatbelt on. God controls it for you. Simon, Satan desires to sift you. Husbands, let me tell you, our brother, something. I mean, those of you who are thinking about becoming husband, you better go talk to Jesus first. Because see, as pretty she is and as smart as she is, if you're not careful, trouble sometimes. You better put your hopes and your directive in God's hand and let God work this out. He is the only one that can look around the corner, down the hill, around the valley, and over there. He's the only one that can tell you which way to go, how to go, and how to stay calm in the turbulent times now. Trust him. Try him. And the moment you and I trust God and try God, he will work it out. Let me give you a couple more verses, and then we're going to eat some good food now. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's this Peter now. When he got to that garden, the fellow starts slapping Jesus around. He said, "You look like, oh, I ain't there one of them." Another guy come along and said, you dress like, you act like them. You must be, no, oh, no, I told you I ain't one of them. And then when they ask him the third time, the scripture says Peter cussed. The disciple cussed. And there are times when Satan will shake you to the point. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. You ain't forgot how to cuss. You ain't forgot how to cuss. Now, I know that we Christians, you know, well, I don't say them bad words, but you think it. Yeah, you make me mad, and I'll say, blah, 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 blah. Well, you already said it then. You pushed me to the brink. You know, I didn't want to say it, but y'all just made me. Satan wants to sift us. And the moment he sifts us, other folks are watching us. When you and I are on that plane and they say, hook up, you hook up, but you're also looking on. Look at that. She ain't got that belt on. What's wrong with her? What's wrong? See, they watch us as well as you watch them. But you know what the Lord will tell us to do? Here it is here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Take a look at verse 8, I believe it is. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this verse here. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Verse 5 says, 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Be what? You better wake up. You better wake up. Because, see, Satan is right there next to you. Did you know that? I used to hear people say, the devil watch you go in the church. No, he don't watch you go in. Sometimes he invites you in. He's here. He is here to snatch the word. He's here to test your faith. He's here to prove to you that you may not be who you say you are. But the Lord says it, be sober. I got this. If you trust me, I can make it work. Be sober. Look how he phrases that. Be sober and be vigilant. Be wide awake. Because the plane's finna shake. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the thing that Satan wants to do, is shake you. Some Christians that you know that said they are Christians, and yet they say, well, I don't believe that. You can't believe everything in the Bible. They want to shake your faith. The thing that you believe in, yet you trust, they want to shake you from that. There are some folks who say, well, you don't have to go to church anymore like that. I don't know why y'all got to act all crazy in church. Well, see, they don't know what you just come from. Some of us come to church fighting. We just got through fighting the devil to get here. And once we get here and take a deep breath and find that other folks are coming through the same thing and they can sing, praise the Lord, God is good. When they can sing those songs that ring a bell in your own heart and you don't mind raising your hand, you don't mind lifting your voice, you don't mind clapping your hand, you don't mind letting it be known that God is good and he's still on the throne. You don't mind doing that. But they would try to tell you don't have to do that, but you just keep on keeping on. Hook that belt up no matter what they might say. I am vigilant and I am sober-minded when it comes to the things of God. Listen to what he says here in verse 9. Whom resist steadfastly. Now notice why he said resist him. In your faith, in your belief in what God can do. I don't care what they say. God is able. My God is always on my side. That's what God wants you and I to recognize. God can do that, church. Resist the devil. Resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions which accomplish in your brothers is happening in the world. The world don't like you, and there's a lot of folks out there in the church goes out into the world that try to help you say, see, I can do it. Yeah. I venture to say, when you walk into those stores where they sell the lottery, how many of them Christians are buying them? How many of us have been tempted to say when they see 13 million, 15 million, I'm going to trust in the lottery. I'm going to trust. How many of us have been tempted? How many times have you and I have been cut off on our driving to church, go on our way to Bible class, and somebody cut you off and you want to throw the finger at him? How many times have you decided that he could get up close to me like I'm a runner behind him, just like he runner behind me? You and I have got to realize that Satan's shaking you. When God says, hold steadfast, back up. Let him go on. I got a day for him. See, you and I are not the leaders here. God's in control here. Paul says here, Peter says here, be sober, be vigilant. That's what he wants. James put it this way, resist the devil. When you and I resist him, he got to leave. And you know how to resist the devil? Jesus. Jesus. I found out that when trouble comes, and I just said, Jesus. Lord, help me. Oh, God, when I said that, seemed like Satan said, oh, what you say? You want to throw Jesus in the midst of this? I'm trying to shake you up, and here you come with this Jesus thing. Yeah, yeah, just whisper Jesus. Sometimes you don't even have to whisper, just think, oh, God, on the inside. But then there are times, Brother Cato, when that whispering Jesus don't work. You got to go ahead and holler, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And watch what the Lord can do when you call his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. When you and I learn to call on the Lord, he will step in and intervene in our lives. Let me go over to Jehoshaphat, and then we're gonna go get some the good stuff. Second Chronicles 20, and then we'll put this on hold, and we'll come back next year. Second Chronicles 20, shifting me and shaking me. And what I love about that, being on an airplane, the moment it gets to shaking the hardest and the roughest part, it takes a few seconds and all of a sudden, boom, it stops. And it just gets just as smooth. And sometimes I think that's what we do. When it gets the roughest, it's when we get the scaredest. When things are going the baddest, when the husband ain't acting right, the family ain't acting, children ain't acting, ain't nothing acting, when it gets real bad like that, that's when we want to give up. But I want to show you what they did here in 2 Chronicles. We're going to go down to verse 14, 15, 16, around in there. Israel had been dealing with these folks for a long time. And all of a sudden, the nations around them got together. They formed a coup, if you would. And they got together and they decided, you know what, there are the Israelites down there. It's time to get rid of them. We're gonna get rid of them right now. Let's go get them. And so they got together and they climbed the hills all around the valley that Israelites were in. Jehoshaphat, being king, was down there, and somebody come running to him and said, Jehoshaphat, we're surrounded. They're gonna get us. Look up on the hill there. Can you see them? And Jehoshaphat saw all of that. Now look at this, if you would. In verse 14. And when Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Zeal, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of Aspen, came to the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The preacher came. That's basically what he's saying. The prophet, the minister of God, the preacher came and told him, look what's happening. Look at verse 15. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and tell you, O King Jehoshaphat, the enemy is out there, y'all. He's out there. He wants to get us. But Jehoshaphat did something that was strange. He went, took his clothes off, called everybody that he can think of. Come on, all of you. We all came together. He said, and bring the babies to all the children, all of them. And sometimes that's what you got to do in your household. When Satan starts shaking your house, you better get your whole household, get everybody together. And it's time to have what we used to call old-fashioned prayer meeting. All of us come together. And they all came together. They all gathered in the valley. And they recognized that those men had swords and knives and soldiers. They were bigger than they were. They were stronger than they had a better army than they did. And they just stood there. And the prophet came, the preacher came and said, let me tell you what God told me in verse 15. He says this, and he hearkened unto all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to tell thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor what? Dismayed by what? By what you see, the reason of the great multitude. For what? The battle is what? Not yours, but what? That's what I want to tell you today. The battle ain't ours. Yeah, the plane is shaking. The wind is blowing. Yeah, it's dark outside. The lightning is flashing. Then the thunder is roaring. But God's got this thing under control. The plane can't go nowhere until the captain controls it, says so. You and I are under control of God. The Holy Spirit guides us. He directs us. He tells me when to pray, when not to pray. He tells me when to get upset and when not to get upset. And when I do get upset, I tell, what you want me to say? How you want me to say? I depend on him. And that's what you and I got to recognize. Yes, we are learning in a time when tariffs are going to be high. Yes, prices might jump up high as they can. But you keep in mind, God's in control of this. He might be president, but he ain't king. Congress might act like they know everything, but they're not in charge. God's in charge. And if God can feed me, he can feed anybody else. If God can take care of the little things, he can take care of them. Israel saw all of that up there, and they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord. Jehoshaphat bowed his head, and they all prayed, and they closed their eyes, and all of a sudden, while they were praying, they heard noise. Cling. Cling, 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 cling. All kind of stuff was going up on the hill. They couldn't figure what's going on up there. And after a while, the king said, this enemy that you see, we ain't going to see him no more. What you mean? Hang on a second. And then it got real quiet. Preacher, now y'all go up there on the hill and see what's going on up there. And when you get up there, you're going to see some gold, some silver, some nice stuff, some armor. Pick it up and bring it on back down here. It's y'all's. I'm going to fix it where you come out on top, even though you're in the valley. That's what we're waiting on, y'all. We're in the valley right now. It's shaking right now. It's scary right now. But the old hymn writer put it right when he said, I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will depend on the Lord. There's nobody greater than Jehovah. There's nobody greater than Jehovah. And he's on your side. Amen. Amen. Father, take your word. Make it alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go eat.